101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. It is The Huddle with Rich and Arnie, but I am taking over the microphone because I've got to get to the bottom of some things. We are going right out to the TikTok Jewelers guest line. Sean Sharif, 105.3 The Fan in Dallas. Cowboys, Giants, big game this weekend. We'll go on the field in a second. But first, Sean, you worked with Arnie in Dallas. He said everybody hates him there. Is that true?
Yes, 1,000%. Arnie is the... I don't know if he is the original or the second coming of Skip Bayless when it comes to trolling, but the man knows how to piss off everyone in a heartbeat. He went at the Longhorns nonstop. Arnie did his homework. He had his research and his notes, but he knew how to irritate people, and he got a freaking high off of it.
Did he also annoy everyone talking about his pickup basketball prowess? Because that seems to be the big one up here, is he tells everyone how good he is on the over 50 leagues.
Have you ever played with Arnie?
I have played with Arnie multiple times. He can't even get a shot off me, but he won't let the listeners know that.
He's terrible. He is a YMCA six man. He hustles out there. I've played with Arnie. He goes up and down the court. Surprising conditioning for a man of his age and stature, but Arnie Spanier is terrible. He is much better on the air than he is on the basketball court. Don't let anyone be fooled.
This might be a better expose than talking Cowboys-Giants. You got any other Arnie stories before we move to the gridiron?
Oh, yeah. We actually talked about this today with our crosstalk. Do you know who Mike Bacsik is?
I do. He gave up He gave up one of the big home runs to Bonds. Was it 70 or was it one of the milestone 700 homers?
Gave up the record breaker, but Mike Bacsik host our midday show, and I was at a restaurant with them in our own private studio when they were arguing about basketball, and Mike said something inappropriate to Arnie. This is live on the air, and Arnie decided not to back down. You know Arnie, the New Yorker. He challenged Mike back, and Arnie got in Mike's face, a former professional athlete, on the air. I'm sitting in there like a referee, and he challenged Mike to a fight, and if Mike would have stood up, Arnie would not be sitting there with you guys as we speak, but that is the biggest near on-air fight physically we've ever had in the 6 years I've been here in Dallas. Arnie Spanier versus former major leaguer Mike Bacsik.
I don't know why that doesn't surprise me. We were out at an event last night at McGillicuddy's in Essex, and a guy said that he wanted to challenge Arnie for money to a hoops game, and Arnie wasn't backing down.
He'll never back down. He would talk himself into bankruptcy, but that's why you got to love him. The confidence. The guy has a spine that is concrete. He ain't going to back down. He's just not going to win, unfortunately, for him.
Sean Sharif of 105.3, The Fan in Dallas, flagship of the Cowboys. Look, I love the Arnie stories. Let's move on the football field, though. Giants in New York this weekend, taking on the Cowboys. Cowboys are 11-1. They can clinch a first-round bye with a win and a couple other things. How do you see this matchup on Sunday night playing out?
Well, I think the Jason Pierre-Paul injury is obviously humongous. He had 5.5 sacks in his past few games. I see the Cowboys winning this game in a close one, like 24-21 or 24-20, something like that. The Cowboys' secondary is still banged up. They're missing Mo Claiborne, so you got to do it with Odell Beckham and Sterling Shepard and Victor Cruz, even though he's crying about not getting enough touches. Eli Manning had 3 touchdowns the last time these two played, and their defensive line shut down Zeke Elliott in the Giants' win in week one with Snack Harrison up front and Olivier Vernon, their new high-priced talent that they acquired. But I just think the Cowboys are better than they were in week one. I don't think the Giants will have the ball. They'll lose the time of possession battle again. I don't trust Eli Manning just throwing up random balls in his future, quote-unquote, Hall of Fame career. But I think the Cowboys win a close one to wrap up the NFC East title, but the Giants could win this football game, in my opinion.
Jason Witten didn't have a catch last week against Minnesota. I think it broke 130 straight games with a catch for him. But the Giants are giving up yardage pretty easily to tight ends. Ladarius Green totally destroyed the G-men secondary and linebackers last week. Is Jason Witten a big focal point of this game plan for the Cowboys?
Well, this is part of the great thing about Dak Prescott. You know, there are very few people who would probably want Tony Romo to play over Dak Prescott. Jason Witten may be the only one left standing, and Jason would probably even sell Tony down the river since they've won 11 straight, because Tony and Jason are BFFs. Tony would force-feed the ball to Jason. Not a bad option as a future Hall of Fame tight end, which he is. But Dak Prescott doesn't give a damn about any of that. He doesn't care about Dez Bryant complaining in the huddle. He doesn't care about Jason Witten and his consecutive game streak. He cares nothing about it. Dak Prescott is going to find the open guy. He's going to keep it balanced. He's going to spread it around. So I wouldn't say that Jason is necessarily a focal point. If you look at Witten to start the season, he got off to a really, really slow start. Cole Beasley was the go-to guy for Dak. So I think one of the great things about Prescott is there is no exact focal point. He really does, as cliche as it sounds, he really does take what the defense gives him, and that makes the Cowboys much more dangerous in terms of the balance.
Now, Dak Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott out clubbing this past Monday. They've been out celebrating wins before, but it seems to come to light this week because TMZ was there to catch it. Do people in Dallas care about this, or is it just, oh, two young guys out having fun 6 days before the next game? Or do they look at it and say, these guys are putting themselves in positions they shouldn't be putting themselves in?
Well, a lot of people write it off. But a lot of people wrote off Johnny Manziel partying at Texas A&M. Now, I'm not saying that this is Johnny Manziel, but I'm not writing it off like a bunch of the Cowboy Homer fans here. There are whispers, and I've heard many of stories that I would never get into detail with you or even on my show because I think it would be irresponsible. I can't confirm them. There's just a lot of whispers about Zeke having a ton of fun. And Dak, I think, as long as Zeke is with Dak, you kind of view him. You know, back in the days of the White House 90 Cowboys, Michael Irvin was the crazy one. Now, he would go out with Emmitt Smith. But Emmitt Smith, as long as he was around, he's the big brother. He's the big brother babysitter. And as long as Zeke, we see him with Dak, we view Dak as the big brother babysitter. But Zeke has apparently been having a lot of fun. And if you were on top of the NFL world and maybe the leading vote-getter for MVP, we all would have that fun. I just want Zeke to be careful. Don't drive anywhere after you've been having fun. Make sure that you don't get in any trouble with the NFL already looking at you because of the domestic violence situation. So a lot of Cowboys fans, while they're winning, are like, whatever, we did this while we were 21. I'm just putting out a future warning for Zeke. Just be extra careful.
Sean Sharif of 105.3 The Fan in Dallas. They are the flagship of the Cowboys and the old home of Arnie Spanier. What challenges do the Giants present Dallas? Because, you know, look, the Giants don't have much of a running game. They have no tight end play, and their turnover margin, they're -5. Where are Cowboy fans concerned, though?
Giants defensive line, like I said earlier, but Zeke was very impatient to start off this season. He said he wasn't hitting his landmarks right. He was going too fast through the hole. But the Giants are still a very good run D, even though they're in the middle of the pack overall defensively in the National Football League. So number one, the run D against Zeke. And number two, defending the Giants wideouts. Look, say what you want about Eli and the Giants offense underperforming. Odell Beckham is still a freak. He can take over any football game. Sterling Shepard is a nice rookie. Victor Cruz is a nice third option. And the Cowboys secondary is banged up compared to week one. Morris Claiborne, who had been a bust as the number 6 overall pick throughout his entire career here, he was having a Pro Bowl start before he got hurt. Morris Claiborne is not playing in this game. Orlando Scandrick had been their best corner in years past. We still think he's a little bit nicked up. You don't want to trust Brandon Carr, who's been a $50 million bust, even though he's having a nice season. So no matter how you look at it, there's no safeties that immediately pop into your mind. Even though Barry Church is having a nice season, J.J. Wilcox can deliver a big hit here and there. To me, the concern is the Giants' D-line and the Cowboys' secondary against Eli's weapons.
Sean, where's Tony Romo playing in 2017? Because Jerry Jones says he'd like to keep them both, but that doesn't seem very logical. The money might make it tough to move him, though. What's up with Tony Romo next season?
Did you see what Jerry said today to Gary Myers?
I did.
See the story? My God. I don't know what. Jerry. Why? Why are you doing this? He said, now, I'll just give you the live update. So, Jerry says to the New York Daily News, I believe, Gary Myers, I could see Romo still contributing this year. Tony Romo having his moment. And we had just closed this freaking can of worms. We had put it away. We had the Romo funeral. He had his press conference. We visited the grave site, we poured one out, and then Jerry goes and says this, and he thinks he can talk Tony into returning next year. Now, Jerry comes on our station twice a week. He comes on with us Tuesday, our midday show on Friday. So Jerry just got off the midday show, and he backtracked a little bit and clarified and said, no, Tony can help in the film room. Tony can help on the scout field. He did say that Romo probably would not play. If the Cowboys wrap up and clinch and they have meaningless regular season games to close out, Romo would probably not play in order to preserve him if they needed him in the playoffs. But I still don't think Tony Romo plays here next year. Denver is an obvious choice. I don't know if that John Elway is that dumb to give up a high pick for a guy that I don't think can stay healthy whatsoever. Houston, that would make sense, but they paid a ton of money for that bust Brock Osweiler. You know, I could maybe, people said Chicago because he's a Wisconsin guy. I could see maybe the New York Jets, possibly. So right now, I would roll my dice on the New York Jets. They need a quarterback. They've drafted 19 of them. None of them can play, obviously. I still think they have some offensive pieces, a wideout. I think they have some defensive pieces, even though they absolutely stink this year. I'll throw out the New York Jets. Jacksonville, some people are speculating. And Arizona, if Bruce Arians wants to get rid of Carson Palmer. So all those things are options. I don't think being a Dallas Cowboys backup is one of them, unless Dak gets hurt and Romo has this magical ending to win a Super Bowl. I think that deep down is Jerry Jones' magical and hopeful Hallmark card.
Sean Sharif, 105.3 The Fan in Dallas. Look, next time you come on, I'm going to let you talk to Arnie and you guys can have it out and reminisce so we can get more stories. But I think this is a good basis for the listeners now. Sean, we appreciate the time.
Why do I have a line open? That's Arnie Spanier's famous line here in Dallas. Why do I have a line open? Ask him about Mike Bassett. Thanks for having me.